on. Miss Lee, can you hear me? Okay? Okay. I'm going to leave that there then. I'm not going to worry about it. But the Lord had different plans. He really has been working on my heart the last couple weeks, and I feel like this is it's more of a conviction for me, what I'm speaking on tonight. And I titled this message, Furthering the Christian Walk. And we'll be looking in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And I said, the Lord has really been working on my heart the last week, and the answer to prayer has been awesome. I've asked everybody to be praying for me that the Lord continue to work in my life, continue to purge the old things out that that I need to get rid of, and He's been doing that, and I praise Him for that, and thank you all for your prayers. So I'm going to read this real quick, and then we'll pray, and then we'll get right into the message. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with the milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for allowing us to be here this evening. I thank you for the privilege of being able to open up your word and being able to preach from it, Lord, that you've given me the opportunity and, Lord, just the honor to be able to do that, Lord. And I just thank you for using the base things, Lord. That is what I am. That's what we all are, Lord, and we are all capable of being used by you. And, Lord, I ask that this would be just a great encouragement, a challenge, Lord, to further our Christian walk with you. And I pray that it would just be a blessing. I pray that you would bless this message, Lord, that it would just be you speaking through me, Lord. That's all I want. That's all I desire. And I ask, God, that you just be with us this evening. In your name I pray. Amen. So we see in this context of this passage, Paul speaking to the church of Corinth. The church is struggling with some disputes, quarrelings, divisions. And Paul is rebuking the church. He's chastising them for correction, getting on to them, and he comes to them very bluntly. And I find it very interesting, just a little side note, but some people need... Paul obviously loved the church of Corinth. He loved them very dearly. And it's very important that we, the ones that we love, they need to hear the hard truths. People need to hear hard things sometimes to get right back on track. And some people need that. It'd be an encouragement for them to get them back where they need to be. And it's just a little side note, but it encourages me to see how Paul speaks to the churches, not just the church of Corinth, but even the church of Galatia and many others, that the love he has for them and just telling them the hard truths. And I really appreciate that. But what Paul goes on to say is he could not address the church as if it were spiritual, but the contrary. They were worldly. That's what carnality means. That they were living worldly. They were living in carnality. That they had been acting as infants for Christ's sake, not living as mature or obedient Christians. And in verse 2, he had given them the basics of God's Word to live by. The essentials, the basic foundational truths of the gospel necessary for a babe in Christ's growth, the milk of God's Word. Paul knew that they weren't ready for the meat of God's Word, or the more advanced and complex teachings that a more mature Christian would desire to be learning. But and after some time, Paul had come to the realization that they were still not ready. And then in verse 3, Paul boldly speaks to them concerning them as still worldly, walking and talking as the common man. They were not growing, and they were still as young in Christ as when first given God's truth. And it begs the question as we get into this, how many of us could say that we've been choked up on the milk of God's Word, that suddenly... in our walk with Christ, the basics of God's Word has come the farthest extent of our walk with Him, our walk with Christ. And so there's three things that I want to look at tonight that could keep us from furthering ourselves in the Christian walk, and that is, one, carnality, to be of the world or to live worldly, stunted growth, to be hindered from growth, and division and disunity, a state of separation or to be in discord. So going into it, our first topic here being carnality, and the way that Paul addresses the church of Corinth here is not out of a pat you on the back, you'll get it next time, you're doing okay, buddy, you're getting it. No, they knew the truth and they knew what to live by, and they weren't doing it. They were given the milk of God's Word there, and they were to be living according to the truth of it. And Paul says in verse 1, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. They were given the truth of God's word, and still yet living as they had known nothing. Excuse me. Where am I at here? Nothing. Yeah, still living the worldly way that they were found. Also very important to point out that he mentions them being carnal three different times. And I find it also very important that Paul does that quite often. If there's something he's really trying to dig into them, to really get them to understand, he repeats himself. And I find that very interesting. And I think we should pay attention to those things when he's speaking. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, the Bible says, as newborn babes desire the milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. For all of us that are, you know, parents, most of us here, and fathers and mothers, we know that the whole point of the milk for a newborn is to grow. That's the whole idea of it. When you have a newborn and you're giving them milk, and they're wanting a little bit something different, some texture, and they get a little bit of that soft food, and then they start getting a little more into it, and they get a little bit of that chicken nugget. Then the next thing you know, they're biting your finger, you know, as you're feeding them. It's pretty intense. it happens quick. And as Christians, you would think we would want to desire more. We would be as a newborn babe desiring more, getting to the softer, getting to a little something more with a little more texture in it, and then getting to some of them harder truths. But where is our excitement for more? We've been given the sincere truth of God's Word, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's time to run with it. And the truth is, we are carnal. We are of this world. We are unrighteous beings, and that's the way it is. But when we have taken the truth of God's Word personally and believe, we are made righteous in God's eyes through Christ. So it brings us to a question of, are you holding to the worldly desires? What's keeping you from the meat of God's Word? And that brings me to my second point here, stunted growth. What has hindered you from growing? In verse 2, he says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able yet to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able. It brings us to a point of how often have we been given the truth of God's Word? We've heard it all our lives. Some of us that have grown up in church, I know, and this has been convicting to me as well, but we've been grown up in church, we've been around it our whole lives, and some of us have been here for 30 years plus, and we come to these points in our lives like, yeah, we're all sinners, that's the whole point of Jesus being here. But there's more to it. There's more to living for Him and being saved and being a child of God. The church of Corinth had heard it all, and they were still not able to sustain it. They weren't capable of living by the truth of God's Word then, and they still couldn't. And that begs the question, how many of us have heard the truth all of these years and just idly sat by? What is hindering us from growth? And when you think about that, when you think of the word hinder and you apply it to your life personally, you think of sin. But it's more than that. It could be more than that. It could be a hobby. It could be anything in your life that's become more than it should be. In Galatians chapter 5, if you'll turn with me there in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. Galatians 5 verses 19, we'll read verses 19 through 21. The Bible says, Now the works of the flesh are these manifest, or I'm sorry, Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We see here we have anger, frustration, sexual sins, bitterness, false teachings, following a different form of the gospel that is not the gospel, pleasing men instead of God the Father. And it brings us also to, I find this, that it could be in anything, a hobby. I often remember hearing when I was younger, and Jesse could probably vouch for it a little bit, but when we were younger, 12, 10, 13-year-olds, and a lot of the adults here could probably remember it too, but all of us kids would be flocked around the coffee stand back here in the back, or in the what used to be the man cave is what we used to call it. And all of us kids would be back there just huddling around it, tons of sugar, tons of creamer, still guilty a little bit of that. But we were all back there just getting after it. Full pot of coffee. A bunch of 12-year-olds would just destroy a pot of coffee. And I remember the adults coming back there and say, "You better watch it. You know, that'll stunt your growth. That'll get you, you know." And it was always out of fun, obviously, but I think about it, and we would just smile and laugh it off and just get to drinking, and we'd destroy it. We'd just be done. Maybe even two pots, who knows. But we would just completely annihilate a pot of coffee. A bunch of 12-year-olds just strung out on coffee. It was insane. But I believe in some ways we treat this as sin. We treat things like that, treat sin like that in a way. When we have a pot of coffee, we've been given the warnings. God's given us the truth of His Word. He's given us the promises. And we find ourselves over in the corner with that pot just guzzling away. Just drinking it, smashing it to the ground, just smiling sometimes. You know, maybe some of us don't find it like that. Maybe we don't see it, and we're not to the point in our lives where we are so far in that maybe it's not funny. Maybe we just don't find it as a problem. I have to tell myself a little bit, the Lord's really been, I said, He's been really convicting my life, and a lot of you know I really, really like to hunt. I enjoy it to a fault, and the Lord has made that very clear in my life. But it's little things like that, even hobbies, that we've become so numb to in some ways, that take our time away from the Lord, that get in between us and time with Him. We begin to compromise for our hobbies instead of, or we compromise in general. That, oh well, I'll get to that later. But this is fun. I'm going to do this. I desire to do this. But that's when it becomes a problem, and we find ourselves with the things that stun us in our relationship with Christ, and it's just natural day to day things. In Galatians chapter 1, you'll just turn over a page or two. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 12. Again, I find it very interesting how Paul speaks to the church. I love that in this case, the first five verses are very encouraging. He's showing his love for the church of Galatia. And then in verse 6, he just goes for the throat. He goes right after him, and he gets right to business. And in verse 6, he begins to say here, "I marvel," or I'm astonished, "that you are so soon removed from Him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you, that would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." This is where he starts repeating himself again, and it's very important to key in here. Verse 9, he says, "As we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it by the revelation of Jesus Christ." We see Paul speaking to the church of Galatia, and we see they have been turned from the truth. And in this case, the gospel has been perverted, and people are twisting the word of God. In verse 10, he says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Of course, this is a rhetorical question from Paul. He knows the answer to this, but we could stand to ask ourselves the question seriously before God. Do I now persuade men or God? Why do I do the things that I do? Why am I a follower of a Christ? Am I doing it to persuade men? Am I doing it to persuade God? Do I seek to please men? And he says there in the last part of that verse, "I should not be the servant of Christ if I yet please men." Of course, if being involved in church is simply a means to expand our publicity to people, then we're in the wrong game here. This is not the place to do it. And it's just, it really, it brings things to light. It's, are we a servant of Christ? Why do we do the things we do? Do we do it to serve men? In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 6 through 7, the Bible says, "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." And in verse 7, "With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men." It's important for us to remember we serve God and not people. We serve God and not creation. We serve God and not our hobbies. and not our sin. That's the whole idea here, is we are not here to please men. These things can stunt our growth, and the next thing we know, we're doing it for the whole wrong reason. Let's see, in Galatians chapter 5, if you'll turn over just a page or two, Galatians chapter 5, verses 7 through 9, the Bible says, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you." And verse 9, "A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." It's important for us to remember we serve God. If we look at this passage here, who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? What hinders you? What stunts you? What keeps you from doing what the Lord has asked us to do? Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? And he says, the one that called you sure didn't do it. Right in verse 8, he says, you're not a persuasion of God. The things you do are not of God. That's not what this is about. This is about you. And in verse 9, he says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Any sin, all any hobby you have, anything that takes number one over the Lord, suddenly becomes the leaven that leaveneth the whole lump. But it doesn't have to. And in our third point here, going into the division and disunity. And first, back in our passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, the Bible says, "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" What happens when we have been given the truth of God's word? We have, and we've been given the milk, we've been given the things to become sustained by it and trying to grow. What do we do with it when we have rejected growth? When we have put it to the side, when we've decided to go our own way, we've decided to follow those things in life that have taken number one, that have taken first place in our life besides God, it brings contention. The struggle to obtain the truth, we contest, we quarrel, it brings us to it doesn't bring us any peace. When we're not living for God, we have decided that instead of striving to live by the truth of God's word, we have decided to question everything about God's word. And when God's truth has been polluted, it creates confusion. And we know that God is not the author of confusion. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, the Bible says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." Where God's truth is, there is peace. And we know that when God is being sought, He brings no confusion to the table. There's no confusion in God's presence. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, the Bible says, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace." That word "endeavoring" there means to work for it, to strive. And the truth is, it takes work. It takes work to be a follower of God, to be a faithful servant of Christ. It takes work. It takes time. And this is something I am learning to its core right now, that it takes all of you. It doesn't take just part of you. It doesn't take the time that you're not hunting or the time that you're not in your sin. It takes all of you. It takes all of your time. We know that no one person is perfect, and we have been given the truth of God's word in its basic form, and because of that, we should strive by it. We should strive to live by it. And when you genuinely want to live for God, He will give you the understanding that you desire. We know that there is a serious problem when you cannot distinguish the difference between the people of the world and the people of God. When people can't see a difference in you at the Harps or the Dollar General, and you start breaking out in argument with the person at the cashier register because the milk's bad, that's not what it's about. We are to be living for God. We are to be striving for God. People should see that we are living for God, that we are endeavoring, that we're striving to live for Him, that we are doing this. We're in unity with the Spirit. We're in unity with the Lord. We're not on a different playing field going into life. And that brings us to Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. And the Bible says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon." At some point, we have to make a decision in our lives. Who do we serve? Do we serve the sin? Do we serve the worldly desires, the carnality of our flesh? Do we serve do we serve ourselves? Are we trying to serve God or ourselves? We have to make a decision. As Christians, it is necessary for us to step past that point in our life where it's just the honeymoon phase of salvation. It doesn't last forever. It's good to rejoice in our salvation and to be in that. That's what it's there for. We have hope in Christ. We have hope in our salvation. But it doesn't have to stop there. We can strive to do more. We can strive past day-to-day life being more of a servant for Christ. Not being held to the master of this world. The master of our carnality, our flesh. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, the Bible says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Have we come to a point in our lives that we can clearly say that for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? It's not just a matter of saying it, though. It's a matter of putting it to action. Who are we serving? Are we serving God or mammon? Are we serving God or the flesh? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. When that becomes the conscious decision to live for God, from our hearts, the genuinely seeking to live for Him and to bring our family along with us, we all have to come to a crossroads in our life. We all will come to a crossroads in our life where this is all true. When you have come to the understanding of the truth of God's Word and you understand what He wants from you, when He wants all of you and not just a piece of you, not just part of you, not just the part of you that's free on Thursdays or Sundays or Saturdays. He wants all of you. He wants your time. He wants a relationship with us. And so it's important to understand what He wants from us, to reject or accept the will of God in our life. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Will you serve yourself, your carnality, your sin that hinders you and is between you and God? Our last passage here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13. The Bible says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." The Lord has given us a promise, and He's given us many promises, and proven that He is faithful. He's proven time and time and time again that He is for us. And He's faithful for us. He'll do anything for us that if we're faithful to Him. He has provided an escape from our sin. He's provided us an escape from anything that's between us and the Lord that's keeping us from Him. But that doesn't mean that there won't be a struggle. And He says there in verse 13, He says, "He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape." He's given us that route. He's given us an opportunity to escape that sin, to escape those things that keep us from having a relationship with Him. We become so numb to the things that we would never expect to take a hold in our lives that would keep us from a relationship with Him. But it happens all the time. Just a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. That's it. Just a little bit of it. And so what does it take for us to come to the conclusion in our lives, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord"? Without doubt, without question, this is who I live for and this is why. This is what I'm living for. That I will strive, that I'll endeavor, that I'm working towards to know more of my Savior and the plan He has for my life, and that I will further myself in the Christian walk. And I hope this has been a blessing to you. I know it didn't run very long, but I felt very, very certain that this is what the Lord wanted me to share with y'all tonight. And it's been a challenge for me because it is truly been interesting to see the things that I'm numb to that take my time from the Lord. That I don't give my all in places that I never would have imagined that have just been remarkable. It's been a blessing, and I pray it's been a challenge more than anything, just to stay humble and to stay vigilant for those things in your lives that could keep us from having that good relationship with the Lord. Let's pray.